Good morning and welcome. Here we are now in the season after Easter. We are on our way towards the season of Pentecost, but we're not quite there yet. And so as we work through our way through the season of Easter, we are going to be digging deeper into the various different texts that have to do with the events immediately following Jesus' resurrection. Now, in many ways, these are very familiar texts because they're the same ones that we return to every year. But there's a lot to be gathered from each and every one of them that can be very new, very important, and very life-defining. And in this particular text that we have today, oftentimes the person at the very center of this text, the person who gets the most attention, is Thomas. Sometimes Thomas is called Doubting Thomas. And I've told you all many times in the past, I have a problem with calling Thomas Doubting Thomas. I like to call Thomas Thomas that says what everyone else is thinking, but isn't willing to actually say it out loud, Thomas. Because Thomas just seems like one of those guys that doesn't have a filter. He says what everybody else is already thinking, but they're just not ready to say out loud. But I think if we focus on Thomas's role in this passage, and we just focus on Thomas's role in this passage, we're going to miss some fairly important elements, not least of which being, what was everyone else doing? Why was everyone else doing what they were doing? And most importantly, as we interpret this into our lives, what does this teach us about what we're doing? What does this tell us about how we are to live? Now, I think everybody's had that moment, sometimes more than once in a week, sometimes more than once in a day, where you're laying in bed, the alarm's already gone off twice, you've already hit snooze, you know you don't have another 8-minute snooze to hit, but more than anything else in the world, you don't want to get out of bed. And it's not just that the bed's warm and the bedroom's cold, it's not just that you're really comfortable in your mattress and on your pillow, it's not that it was a late night last night and you just really would like to have a few more minutes of sleep. It's that you know what's going to happen as soon as you get out of bed. All of life's problems, all of life's challenges, all of the things that you'd rather not have to confront, you're going to have to confront. Maybe that's just as simple as figuring out what you're going to make everybody for breakfast, which, by the way, isn't always that simple a task. Maybe it's as complicated as facing a life-threatening disease or illness, or anything anywhere in between there. We human beings, when we get out of bed in the morning, know that we have challenges. These challenges are going to push us, whether they're small challenges, whether they're huge challenges, whether they're lifestyle challenges or economic challenges. We know that life is hard. And when I say we know it, you know it, I know it. Every person who's ever hit that snooze button one more time and said, I just can't face it today, knows that life is full of challenges that each and every one of us would rather not have to go through. What does that have to do with today's scripture passage? Very simply, after Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, the disciples are not yet ready to stop hitting the snooze button. They're hiding. They're up in the upper room with the doors locked. They're lying low. They're hoping that nobody knows where they are. And as I've always said in Thomas's defense, of all the disciples who weren't afraid to go out into the world, Thomas is the one and only member who's not hiding. So whatever else we might want to say about him being courageous or not courageous, doubting or not doubting, what we do have to say, he's the only one who's not hiding. He's the only one that hasn't hit the snooze button 16 times. Whereas the other 10, because of course by this point we know Judas is gone, they are hiding. Why? Why do we human beings hide from life's difficulties? Well, the very reality is each and every one of us know how difficult life is. We know how grand life's challenges are, and even the small ones sometimes feel like they tax us beyond our abilities to cope. We don't want to go through life's challenges. And oftentimes our relationship with God is determined by our desire for God to help us around life's challenges. We very rarely pray things like, God, tomorrow I'm going to have a terrible day at work. Can you just give me the strength to face the terrible? Usually what we pray is something more like, God, I don't want our day at work tomorrow to be terrible. Can you sure make sure that that task that my boss wants me to do, that coworker that I don't like, that fellow student who always gives me trouble, that individual that I don't like to have to deal with, can you make sure they're not there? Or can you make sure they don't bother me? We rarely ask God for anything more than to help us around life's troubles. But nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus ever do that. Nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus ever say, hey, let's not go to that village over there. Those people aren't going to listen to a word we have to say. Let's just go around the outer belt and we'll just skip that town altogether. No, time after time, Jesus sends himself and his disciples directly into the mouth of conflict. Why? Because conflict has to be faced. Truth has to be proclaimed in the midst of falsehood. And yes, God is not interested in helping us around our problems. But what does God promise us? Well, it's exactly what God does for Thomas. Thomas says, I need to see this Jesus. I need to see his hands. I need to see his side. I need to see what it is that supposedly has been resurrected. No sooner has he said this than Jesus shows up in the room and says, okay, Thomas, you want to know I'm here. And we, I think, sometimes take this as a challenge on Jesus's part, that Jesus is showing Thomas up, that Jesus is proving Thomas wrong, that Jesus is somehow addressing Thomas's faithlessness in a way that takes him down a peg. But in nowhere in Scripture is that what happens. Jesus doesn't say, Thomas, for your lack of faith, I'm here to teach you a lesson. No. He says, Thomas, you need to know I'm here. You need to know I'm with you. You need to know I'm alive. Come here. You need to touch the wounds. Touch the wounds. You need to give me a hug. Give me a hug. What do you need to understand that I am present with you? And I'll give you that. See, Christ knows that the disciples are about to walk through very difficult times. Remember, only the Apostle John dies of old age. Every last other one of them is killed during the persecutions. Jesus knows that 9 of the 10 disciples are going to go through a literally life-ending event. And even John, who survives into old age, suffered enormously. Jesus knows they're about to face catastrophic challenges. What God wants us to know is not that he's there to take away our challenges, not that he's there to help us circumvent our problems. But the single most important thing is for us to know that he is, in fact, there. God walks with us through all of those challenges. When we finally stop hitting that snooze bar and we get up on our feet, Christ stands up right next to us. When we walk down to make breakfast and we don't know what we're going to make, Jesus is there with a hand on our shoulder saying, you can do it. When we go to that office meeting where we're going to have to face up to that abusive boss, Jesus has his hand on our back saying, I'm here and I love you and it's all going to be okay. See, Jesus isn't here to walk us around our problems. Christ is here to give us the strength to face them, to give us the sureness of his presence, to say to each and every one of us, you have doubts as to whether or not you can face life's problems? Good. You probably should have those doubts because there's going to be problems you can't face up to. But there's nothing that we can't do together. And I am here for you. Put your hands on my hands. Touch my body. Know that I am present. Christ wants us to know, as he wanted Thomas to know, that he will never abandon us and that he always walks with us. And our assurance in life that we can go through all of life's trials comes from knowing that the resurrected Christ walks with us.